The Fed chief testifies again.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. It's the Morning Open. I'm Steve Chiotakis. The healthcare reform debate is center stage, and Hummer, no more. First, where's Wall Street? Numbers are down right now. The S&P off about 1 2/3%. Same for the NASDAQ. And the Dow off now 167 points, 10,206. Investors are concerned about a possible ratings downgrade of Greek debt. They're concerned in Europe as well. Obviously, shares there are lower right now by 1 and 1.5%. And the Hang Seng and Nikkei both lost ground in Asia today. The Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke goes before the Senate Banking Committee today, the second day the Fed chief testifies on Capitol Hill. We're going to get a little analysis this morning from Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesirow Financial out of Chicago, but she's with us live this morning, bright and early, from Las Vegas. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
So is the Fed chairman basically going to say the same thing that he said yesterday, you know, that the low interest rates will stick around for an extended period of time?
Well, he's already basically said that. Yes, that is the same speech. And what he's doing now is answering questions with Congress. And the questions, interestingly, relate directly to what's going on in the economic data today. And that is that the Fed chairman not only has said that the economy is still weak and will justify the Fed sort of staying on the sidelines of monetary policy for some time to come, but also that the winter storms that blanketed the East Coast are having an impact on employment, which is something that is today's news as well.
Let's talk about jobless claims. The economy still being fragile with the snowstorm. First-time claims for unemployment benefits rose unexpectedly last week. How does that affect unemployment?
Well, the problem is that the economy is on such thin ice that instead of being a blip on the radar screen, as bad as the storms were in a regular recovery, we wouldn't have noticed their impact on employment. But they literally push people to the sidelines and force them to make unemployment claims. Temporary workers, hourly workers couldn't get to work. They lost income. And that's because we are on such thin ice. And we saw a surge in unemployment claims. And some of that will come off as we get into March. But the bottom line is that income can't be recouped. And so when you're in an economy that's this fragile, even something which seems benign like a snowstorm can have a big impact. And these were big snowstorms, but in a regular recovery, we just wouldn't have seen the employment impact of them as well, which the Fed chairman has underscored today, too.
Diane Swonk, we thank you. Appreciate you being with us this morning from St. Louis. From Las Vegas. There you go. Big difference right there. All right. President Obama.
Very slow Vegas economy.
They sure are. President Obama, along with Republicans and fellow Democrats, getting ready to sit down in just a few minutes to talk health care. It's a summit that will be nationally televised. And the overwhelming theme will be money and costs there at the Blair House in Washington. Marketplace's Gregory Warner joins us live from the health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia. Good morning, Gregory.
Good morning, Steve.
You're going to be keeping an eye on this, obviously, today as our healthcare correspondent. How important is this summit to healthcare reform?
Democrats don't need this summit to pass some reconciled version of the House and Senate bills. The summit's more about making their case to the people. I talked to Stephen Zuckerman of the Urban Institute. He says you'll hear Democrats talking a lot about bringing down the cost of insurance premiums.
Bringing the issue home to people that have coverage. Since most people have coverage in one form or another, they see the expansion of coverage to the uninsured as something affecting someone else.
So Democrats have to make the case that you have to expand coverage to lower insurance premiums in the way that that's how insurance works. You bring more people in so there's more money in the pool, and then the premiums go down for everyone.
But I've heard that argument before, Gregory. Is there a reason why Americans have a hard time signing on to that?
I don't know. I think it's partly about that American idea of individual freedom. You know, my neighbor's there. He's having a big old barbecue with cheeseburgers, soda, some cigarettes. I'm not going to tell him how to live his life, but I don't want to pay for his care. The irony is, if I pay taxes, if he doesn't have insurance, I do end up paying.
Marketplace's Gregory Warner with us live from Philadelphia. Gregory, thanks.
Thanks, Steve.
The offices of a major parts supplier for Toyota have been raided. It's part of an investigation happening on three continents focusing on anti-competitive practices. Now, authorities in the United States, Japan, and Europe say the probes don't have anything to do with the recalls that we've seen. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report for Thursday, February 25th, 2010, at marketplace.org. A House subcommittee today will ask whether the government's doing enough to prevent harmful chemicals from getting into the drinking water. As Sarah Gardner reports from the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, scientists are worried about a whole new class of chemicals that may harm human reproduction.
They're called endocrine disruptors, and you'll probably be hearing a lot more about them. That's because public health advocates are pressing the EPA to keep them out of our drinking water. These synthetic chemicals are found in everything from shampoos to pesticides. They're already linked to sexual abnormalities in male fish, and now there's worry these chemicals could be affecting humans. Winona Hodder is director of Food and Water Watch.
We think that there should be closer regulation. We need more federally funded research on these endocrine disruptors, and we need these products that contain these chemicals to be labeled.
Researchers say these chemicals could be contributing to conditions like genital abnormalities in newborn boys and obesity. If Congress passes legislation introduced last year, suspect chemicals could be banned. Sewage plants could also be forced to more aggressively treat wastewater. I'm Sarah Gardner for Marketplace.
Strikes this week in Spain and Greece have caused all kinds of economic pain. Protesters in both European countries are angry about government cutbacks, such as a hike in the retirement age. And both have been hit hard by the financial crisis. Reporter Brett Neely tells us that's not a coincidence.
European countries like Spain and Greece are producing fewer children. Europeans are also living longer, but still retiring as early as 60. That combination is pushing European public pension systems to the edge of collapse. So these countries are starting to raise the retirement age.
They're just doing or being forced to, quote unquote, finally do what they should have done, maybe a decade or two ago.
That's Jacob Kierkegaard at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. He says otherwise, governments have to borrow more money. But lenders are already wary because of the Greek debt crisis. And that crisis is already making rating agencies like S&P take a look at downgrading European debt.
In the case of the rating agencies, they put, I think, a lot of emphasis on the pension system.
Kierkegaard says Europe will be crippled if it doesn't control its pensions. He adds that out-of-control pension costs are the same kind of threat to European economies as skyrocketing health care costs are to the U.S. In Washington, I'm Brett Neely for Marketplace.
Old, empty office towers are a problem in many city centers nationwide. The vacant skyscrapers are another casualty of the recession. And in Texas, the city of Dallas isn't immune. About 10 large downtown buildings are dark. Kate Archer Kent of Red River Radio has a look at the most recent closure.
When attorney Michael Vernon signed a 5-year lease last August, he says there was no sign that the 52-story Elm Place would close last month. He and his partner had built up their law practice at Elm Place for more than a decade.
It suited our needs beautifully. It had the right presence for the people that came to see us.
When Elm Place's largest tenant, Bank of America, moved out last year, it was the final blow for a skyscraper that had faced recent competition from newer downtown buildings and companies migrating into the suburbs. When word spread that Elm Place would be shuttered, Vernon says, commercial real estate brokers went on the prowl.
We were just absolutely inundated with brokers representing other buildings trying to get us to come over and move, and people just literally walking into our offices unannounced. Hey, we're here. We hear that your building's in trouble.
When Elm Place opened in 1965, it was the tallest skyscraper west of the Mississippi. With its dark gray glass and soaring white marble slabs, it was a posh address for Dallas banks, brokerages, and oil companies. But now Elm Place makes up a big chunk of the nearly 5 million square feet of vacant downtown real estate.
Maybe as much as 35 or 40% of that will never be occupied again.
Commercial realtor Jack Guznell recalls many empty buildings during the 1980s savings and loan crisis, but this time is different. Even when the economy does rebound, Guznell is doubtful that much of this real estate will be reopened. Guznell has been working to redevelop downtown Dallas for a decade, and he says buildings like Elm Place are past their prime.
Technology's moving at such a clip that a building can become functionally obsolete in 40 years easily. Can be too expensive to operate without stripping it down and completely converting it to green.
And renovating these old buildings is very expensive. Guznell says the asbestos abatement bill alone can be cost prohibitive.
It's easier to tear a building down sometimes and rebuild it
No word yet on the immediate fate of Elm Place, but Gosnell remains hopeful that a huge tenant will come along and fill up the Texas-sized office space. In Dallas, I'm Kate Archer-Kent for Marketplace.
It's a sad day for fans of the Hummer. The SUV brand is dead. Originally, when gas guzzlers went out of style, GM wanted to unload the brand to a Chinese company. But today, regulators in Beijing failed to accept the deal. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong has more.
Chinese regulators deny they nixed the Hummer deal. They say the application was incomplete. But some analysts say the deal just didn't match China's energy priorities. Michael Lasky runs the China office at AVL, an engine design firm. Sticking a Chinese logo on the biggest guzzler on the planet, well,
it really wasn't clear what that does to the image of the Chinese automotive industry.
In any event, the $150 million deal for a Chinese white knight to save Hummer is off. Lasky says this shows that Beijing is not a fan of Chinese automakers shopping offshore.
There is not a policy of encouragement for companies to go out and acquire costly foreign brands which might not have been very profitable. I think that's seen as a highly risky type of approach.
But analysts say this won't hit the brakes on every Chinese outbound deal. Less risky approaches may still get through. One Chinese maker is about to buy Volvo from Ford. Another just bought assets from GM's Saab division. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And finally, appliance makers understand Americans don't like to clean out the fridge. A few years back, Whirlpool surveyed people about refrigerator habits. Nearly a third of them said they just shove things in there without thinking. So the icebox turns into a storage place where food goes to die. The Wall Street Journal reports appliance makers are capitalizing on that with new models that have this antibacterial technology. So all those soon-to-be biospheres need a little more time to develop. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.